Introducing the Heart Conviction Podcast with me as your host, Nina Palmer. Spirit-filled discussions, stories, and opinions from my time as a bondsman, pastor, and inmate on reality TV. Unapologetic conversations that will push boundaries, heal hearts, and hopefully add humor where it's been needed. We'll be facing hard truth topics with co-hosts and guests from the best to those society has outcast. Brace yourself because this isn't for the faint-hearted, but crafted to ignite, disrupt, and encourage. No topics too sacred, no heart too guarded. On church, relationships, society, pop culture, sexuality, our hearts, inner freedom, the fight between good and evil, travel, missions, incarceration, reform, love, hate, and the messy journey of pushing past spiritual comfort norms. It's hard being a human, and we're going to learn, grow, crack up, and hopefully renew our minds all at the same time. This might just make you question everything. Get ready for the unthinkable. This will not be your average podcast. Hard conversations start Monday, September 8th for the Heart Conviction Podcast, a Hopecast Network production.
Hey everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Locks of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the queen bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network, and if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch our podcasts.
This is the Hopecast Network, stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of Movie Torture, where we watch bad movies so you don't have to. As always, we have with us our American gladiator to the movie torture world, the ever ferocious, the ever in command, the first lady of movie torture, Hannah, and the goat, the legend, the man we come to see. The guy with the baby hands, Brad. Welcome to the show. And me, the host of the most, the gangster from the past, the pod father of podcasting, Jacob, and hopefully the man who never wants to be on TV, Mr. MTD. MTD may be here, he may not, but we're still going to include him. Welcome, everybody, and let's dive into... Boy, this is going to be fun. I forgot the title of this movie.
Once upon a crime, Jacob.
That's right. Once upon a crime.
where is MTD at this point? Like,
that's a great question.
It's Saturday at 4. Or yeah, his time.
Probably
4.
Taking a nap.
He's on the
beach.
Well
earned nap.
No, they're back. They came back yesterday because he was going to be on today.
Oh.
He did that just to be on the pod?
Probably not. I doubt it's that serious. He might have, though. He might have. Hannah.
That'd be a power move.
Is this the first time, Jacob, we have recorded with Hannah in the same time zone as us?
Yes.
Hannah is in the central time right now.
Well, not what for do you. Because you used to record with Hannah in person. So, I mean
just us two right now. Yeah. Yes. Hannah, what's your thoughts on central time?
It's messing me up. It's very inconvenient. Because I'm trying to plan what time I'll be back on Monday, and it's not. I actually have to leave earlier than I should, and I have to keep in mind that there's an hour difference. It's just annoying.
I love the Central Time. It's so much better than Eastern.
Why?
Because you get everything an hour early on TV at night. You know, you get the instead of the 8 o'clock shows, you get the 7 o'clock shows. You get the 8 o'clock, by 9 o'clock, the Eastern people are at 10 o'clock shows.
You're telling me you watch cable TV?
No. I'm saying, like, the football games and stuff, we get at noon. We get at 3 instead of 1 and 4. You're saving that hour.
Well, think about this, Mr. Bread. You could move to the West Coast and get a mirror in an hour earlier.
2 hours earlier, Jacob.
That's true.
I'm texting MTD right now. We are on.
Texas is central, right? Time zone?
Yeah. Texas.
See, yeah. The only...
So where are you at, Hannah? Nashville?
Yes, right outside of Nashville.
Do you want to go to the Country Music Hall of Fame? Like, what's the deal?
No, I was here for a prayer conference that went Wednesday through Friday. And we ended with a gala last night and I danced my socks off and now I'm chilling. I'm not going anywhere for the rest of the time that I'm here.
She said, please, can we pray for movie torture? Please pray for movie torture.
I'm guaranteeing we were not included in that prayer, or the movie torture podcast was not included in that prayer. Maybe not the people, the show.
There's two firsts. The second first is, I believe, this might be our first ever Saturday recording.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Or wait, is wait, it? Did we do another
nah,
one?
Yeah, we've done Saturday.
I don't know. Have we?
Yes.
I feel like we actually did do we've one other one. Or at least I have.
I don't remember. We're usually a Monday nighter, so it's, you know, weird if we're on a Saturday.
Yeah. It is weird.
Anyway, okay, Jacob, or Hannah, what is this movie about? This is going to be fun, man. This is going to be real fun.
All right, so this movie, Once Upon a Crime in 1992, right? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It is a comedy whodunit. So basically, there are three couples. One has a gambling problem. Well, two of them have gambling problems. Two of the men in the relationships have gambling problems. One of the wives was on the receiving end of not so nice things, but by the end of the movie, she turned it around and she was beating her husband up. The other wife didn't love her husband and cheated on him. And then the other couple weren't actually a couple in the beginning, but they were a couple by the end. A lady got murdered, old lady. Body shows up, it's chopped to bits, ends up in a suitcase on a train. Eventually, all three couples end up getting arrested, but turns out none of them did it. And then you think it was, who was the guy? Alonzo, the lady charmer. Then you thought he did it, but no, it wasn't him either. And then, as always, it's always the maid and the butler, and that's who done it.
Okay, one, Hannah, I did not see this in theaters, and this is the first time I think all three of us have ever watched this movie. Have you ever watched this before, this podcast?
No, never heard of it.
Never seen it. Never seen this movie.
How did you find this movie?
I don't know. Maybe I saw it on the, maybe they highlighted it on the John Candy documentary that I watched last week.
I had to be it.
Probably.
You watched like, the whole documentary about him?
Yeah, it was really good.
Huh.
It's really good. But I was like, it's got Jim Belushi. I like Jim Belushi a lot. It's got John Candy. And it's got Richard Lewis, who is funny on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. So to me, it had a lot of good things going for it. The movie bombed. I think it made like $8 million in the theaters. I looked it up. Just in case MTD wasn't here. $8 million on a $16 million budget.
Man.
Eugene Levy was the director.
I was so excited when I saw that because I love him.
Yeah, and he gets one scene, which I would say is a funny, funny scene.
Yes,
he's in.
So good.
And it's
stole the show.
So we start out with Richard Lewis, right? And he meets up with with Sean Young at this point. Right. Am I remembering right? And also, Hannah, I pulled a Hannah on this. I was driving to Wilmer today and I had to finish the 20 minutes of this movie on the drive.
While driving.
I had it on the dashboard in front of me while I'm driving. I'm listening to it in my AirPods.
That's the move. Today was rare for me. I wasn't driving and I didn't watch it on 2X speed. I'm in chill vacation mode. I did nothing rushed.
Nothing rushed. I couldn't figure out how to make it in 2X mode on Tubi. I was trying. How do you do that?
I'm not sure if you can on Tubi. Some streaming services you can't. I watched it on a TV this time. So
wow.
So that's new.
Of all the movies, Hannah chooses this one to put on the TV screen.
That's just how it worked out.
Hey, if it works, you go with it.
So, Jacob, the dialogue in this movie is funny.
So funny.
I mean, it tries.
No.
It has some funny moments.
You're going to tell me when they're in the casino and what's his face? Belushi. He says, I said, I know you all hate Americans, but if it wasn't for us, all you French people would be speaking German. You're going to tell me that's not funny?
That was funny. I'm not saying none of it was funny. I'm saying that was funny. that part was funny.
And there were many, many other parts, too. Their banter was hilarious. The joke about checking out Freddy Krueger's villa as soon as it turned spooky.
That was good. That's a dated joke, though. That's a dated joke. Are you Finnish? No. Are you Swedish?
That was funny.
I like when he goes to cash in his money and Eugene Levy's like, we've got to go to the kids.
Very small markers.
Very small markers.
I did like that when he's like,
and he blows off the dust from the case.
$50. Like,
would you excuse me? I'm being kicked off the train. I'd like to ask the conductor to slow down.
That's so funny.
I don't understand.
What didn't you like?
I guess he'll talk about it when we do movie torture, movie gold.
You're sitting here saying that the script is not funny.
No, I didn't say the script was not funny. I think the script was good. I think the problem I had was especially with Jim Belushi. Okay. Like Jim Belushi, great guy.
Jim Belushi.
Same role in every movie.
He is.
But you have to block out other movies and objectively look at this one.
Okay, this movie gets funny on the train. Because this is where you're introduced to, you see Belushi and he's like, I've got this, I'm gonna master roulette. You know, and he's like doing it. And you got John Candy wanting to buy the dog, which to me was hilarious. He wants this big dude, wants this little dog.
And well, he wants it for his wife.
Yes.
Wants it for his wife, but he likes the dog. And I love when we need to see your papers and he immediately throws the dog, says it's theirs.
But it's not mine.
Yeah, but then he opens the door and says, I still want the dog. It's so funny to me. Like, he just can't get past he wants the dog. Like, to me, the dialogue in this is very snappy and quick.
It is.
Like, you've got to watch it. Like, it's...
It passes really fast, and then you're like, wait, that was funny.
Because I know John Candy gets roasted for this movie, I'm sure he does, but he was hilarious in the casino going from table to table.
Yes. Yeah.
He was definitely much better than, way better than this, and then when Crumb, way better than this.
Did you watch Harry Crumb? You were Harry Crumb in it, right? Yeah. Harry Crumb is garbage. He was on it in this one. I mean, he was... This, to me, played out like an SCTV sketch that him and Eugene Levy were part of the Canadian Saturday Night Live. And I feel like this was something they just dreamed up and did. Is what it looked like to me. It was very, I just like the dialogue. As far as dialogue goes, this movie has some of the best dialogue we've had in any of our movies.
Yeah. And in the casino scene where Belushi's like, we can't waste precious time with you going to the bathroom. He's like, waiter, get him a cup. So he brings back a cup and he's like, get him a bigger one. Don't disrespect the man.
Get him a bigger one. Don't disrespect him. But Belushi is so mean to his wife.
He's terrible. Ooh, I didn't
super
like
mean.
He is so horrible. And she tells him, do not spend the $5,000.
Which
he
does
immediately.
That
was their whole vacation money.
Well, you knew he was. You're like, we know this guy's going to spend the $5,000.
I did like when he turns around and he looks at the guy and he's like, hey, he thought I said 50.
Yeah. Is that when he goes, are you Finnish? He goes, nope.
Yeah.
Are you Swedish?
Yeah.
Yes. Brad, what would Kristen do if y'all were on vacation, you only had $5,000 to spend on it, and you went and gambled it all away on the first day?
Oh my gosh. Brad, I'm going to have to ask you to sleep somewhere else, Brad.
She wouldn't elbow you in the face like Brad.
She would be like, Brad, beep, 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 Brad. She would just cuss me the whole, nah, she wouldn't cuss me out, but it would not be fun.
That is crazy.
He's got an addiction. He's got an addiction.
That is crazy, though, when as it makes the switch, how she just comes, she goes from being the abused to being the abusive, like just straight up elbowing him in his face every chance she gets. She,
Oh, yeah. She would be, he could press charges, right?
Yeah.
MTD says not at home.
Oh, he's out at the beach.
Yeah, he's out. No, he's out cruising.
Well, tell him to turn on the YouTube.
I'm going to tell him. Hannah says, turn on your YouTubes.
I mean, we watch these in cars all the time, so he can do it too.
It's true.
Hannah says, turn on the YouTubes. Okay. I mean, he's missing this. This is a, but he could have her arrested, right? I was wondering that. Like, that's definitely domestic abuse.
If he could prove it, he wouldn't be able to. But
well, she hit him right in front of the cops.
I guess I didn't care.
I was watching the detective. I'm like, I've seen him in something. I was like, what have I seen him in? And I remember him now. He was in Hannibal.
He's way in a back, lot of things.
That's
way
a back movie? Into
Hannibal. Yes, I'm the mad. Sequel to Silence of the Lambs.
That was a that was a nickname given to me by boys at church who were teasing me.
Oh, no.
Hannibal?
Yes.
Hannibal Lecter?
Would they think you eat people or something?
I don't know. No. I don't know why they gave me that name, but I hated it. They called me Hannibal.
She's a man-eater, Jacob.
Whoa.
Watch out, boy. Hannah's coming on. Oh, here she comes. She's a man-eater.
That would imply I had a man to eat, and I don't. I'm looking at, I don't like how Hannibal looks. That looks terrifying.
It's a great song.
I like it.
It's so good.
Wait. He's in book club, the next chapter.
Hey, MTD's in the chat.
Hannah chewed up a lot of men in her days, telling them no.
Wait, he's in both the book clubs.
Oh, we, Hannah, should we pour one out for Diane Keaton? That's one of your book clubbers.
Did she die?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
She died this week. I remember right, I think on the book club episode, we ranked the hotness of the old ladies, and I said I would take Diane Keaton over, and you were like, nah, I would take what's the girl you like? Jane Fonda. And when we were all like, nobody's taking Lily Tomlin. Or maybe was Lily Tomlin in the book club, or that was maybe me and Roger and 80 for Brady. I don't know. We seem to do a lot of senior citizen movies on the show.
We do.
You are approaching senior citizen age. I mean,
oh my gosh, I am not AARP yet. I've got 4 years before I get there.
It's on your mind.
AMTD, I'm glad he's joining us from a bunker in a different location, not at home. He's joining us from the mall. He's sitting there with all the other guys. So where were we? We're back to, so Hannah, the casino scene is probably the funniest scene in the movie, right?
One of the fun. There were a lot of really funny scenes in this movie. I really liked when.
Oh, he's at Kohl's, Hannah. He's at Kohl's.
That's close.
That might be worse.
He's at Kohl's.
Oh, Kohl's cash.
Hey, he's doing the coolest thing at Kohl's, though, watching us.
That's
he
fair.
Should Am be. The only one? He should be advertising it to all the Kohl's people, just stopping them randomly. Like, hey, you should watch this podcast. It's live right now.
They're probably all old people who don't know how to operate.
Are you age? Yeah, Jacob. Before we move up any farther, one, can you explain the "least I don't scream like Troy" line under your Podfather for the listeners? We have things under our line, under our name. Hannah's is MTD's favorite. Mine is I would sell the dog for $6,000. Jacob's is "at least I don't." Let Phil and Hannah and MTD in on this. What you got there?
So we, me and Bread and Troy went to see a movie last night, Black Phone 2.
Really good movie, by the way.
Which, a really great movie, Black Phone 2. Okay. It's with Ethan Hawke. Hannah, you would hate it.
Yeah, you would hate it. And Hannah, first off, I lost my wallet.
So Brad was panicking. So
I was.
That's the thing.
Troy had to pay for it.
Brad was treating me to a movie because he's a great guy. Forgot his wallet, so that we made Troy pay for all three
tickets.
Oh,
forgot his wallet.
No. He did. He lost it at the at a Goodwill an hour away from us.
Yeah, I left it. It fell out of my pocket an hour away because I went to buy a vintage Pee Wee Herman doll in Wilmer, Minnesota yesterday in the box from the 80s, and my wallet fell out at the Goodwill. So I had to get up this morning and drive to Wilmer to get my wallet.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but the story's not about me.
So, anyway, so we are sitting. I'm on one side. Troy's in the middle. Brad's on the other side. There's one point during this movie where Brad and Troy have a sweet embrace inside the popcorn bucket.
Oh, no, no, no. I went in, MTD, I went in to get popcorn, and Troy goes,
nah.
He did.
But the best part of this story.
Pause it. Wait, Jacob, we said, how long before he makes an inappropriate comment?
And I said, within 10 seconds of us being together. And what happened? In 10 seconds, he made some.
I walked in with a bucket because the theater has buckets that I get to keep and I get to get refilled every time.
Yeah.
And he said, he looks at the bucket. He goes, there's no hole in the bucket. And Jacob goes, I knew it. I told you. Right. That's how the night started, Hannah. So continue, Jacob.
Anywho, so now we're enjoying this movie. Okay. It's like a horror movie. So there's some jump scares and things like that. Mm. I have never sat next to a man, or we're using that term loosely here.
A male.
Next to me that screeched during jump scare scenes to one point where I had to cover my face because I was laughing so hard and didn't want to disrupt the theater because a jump scare happened and he literally leaps out of his seat. He's like, oh my. And then like two other times he's like, oh.
He just sounds like Mickey Mouse. That would be so embarrassing.
It was.
He was very loud.
I would move to a different seat. Like, I don't know him.
At one point, he turned to look at both of us and goes, you guys don't jump during jump scares? I'm like,
you
no.
Do?
And if I, no, like but you, if I Troy. Do, I don't like. So
no,
like,
this is how I watch horror movies, that I don't have like a jump Mouse. Scare.
Like
that's
that?
True. That's what's
I
like
literally
watching
will sit
a
with
movie.
Something in front of, or bring a blanket or a pillow to have it in front of my face.
That's what it's like watching a movie of Troy and a jump scare. It's like, oh, that was a scary point.
I didn't want to the pizza.
It doesn't surprise me, but
oh, it was so hilarious. So then we're walking. We're not out of the theater yet. Movie's over, and Troy goes, "Well, I paid for both of you, so I guess it was a date tonight." And he goes, whose house? Y'all's or mine?
Brad goes, Brad odd cue is like, I am Venmoing you that money ASAP. As soon as I get home, that money will be to you.
So you cannot call this a date. I didn't want him to phrase it that we were on a date, on a three date, three of us on a date together.
Oh, man.
Oh, Troy.
He also said he was surprised we showed up. He said, I thought y'all.
He did say that.
He said, I thought you would ditch me and tell me the wrong theater and y'all go to another one. I'm like, we're not that mean.
That's up for debate. That's up for debate.
That's debatable. Jacob's like, you don't know.
No, Jacob is dying when the glasses come off. And his whole head turns red. He's wheezing.
He does. That's true.
I don't know. Might just be a front, you know, trying to hide.
I don't think. But here's the thing. I don't think Hannah and Troy would be a great match because if they ever did go watch a movie, who's comforting who? Because they would both be screaming.
Hannah's definitely comforting Troy at this point.
I feel like I would always be in the position of comforting Troy because he's like a foot shorter than me.
Poor Troy. He's not even here to defend himself. We're just risen up.
Hannah would definitely be the man in that relationship.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be.
Troy, get up. Get out there. Go clean the house.
Okay, that part would be nice. I might negotiate.
She's like, on second thought.
I'm screaming, you weenie.
All right, those words in that order have never come out of my mouth.
But it was a fun time. It was a great movie. It was just hilarious.
It was one of the best movies I've seen all year, by far. It was really good.
And cool. I tell you, I was laughing so hard from his jump scare that I had to take my glasses off and clean the tears out of my eyes because I couldn't stop laughing.
And then we had a guy behind us in the theater going, "Stop using the flash." What was he saying, Jacob?
Yeah, there was some girl in a row behind us that was Snapchatting with someone, but using her flash.
Oh, gosh.
It was annoying because I could see it coming off the walls every time. So finally, some guy's like, "Turn your flash off." And then finally, I'm assuming his girlfriend or wife got up and went up there and like really talked to them. And then they finally stopped.
Wow. Yeah.
Why do you need to snap during a movie? I get if you're watching Joker 2 because there's nothing in that movie that would make me interested. But this movie's a good movie.
But the problem is it's a different time frame. People don't go to movie theaters like they used to go to movie theaters to experience a movie together. You still go there and want to play on your phone and do. We can't disconnect from the technology.
And also, you're going to get to stream the movie at your convenience at any point. So it's like.
Did I ever tell you guys about the time I was on a date with this girl and we went and saw Bringing Down the House?
Okay.
Remember that movie with Steve Martin and what's her name? What's the rapper? Oh my gosh. What's the rapper that's come on now.
You know that one rapper?
Oh,
who did that one rap song?
she's Denzel in on TV show. On the TV. Oh my gosh, my mind. This is not good radio. I'm looking. Queen Latifah. Latifah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, DMT Decent, tell us about the time you went to see Bent. You can refer to Flight Risk episode for that one. So I'm sitting there with my girlfriend at the time. And I don't realize, but my foot is tapping the seat in front of me.
Oh.
So I'm not even paying attention. Like it's not tapped much. Like I might have just hit it a couple times. It wasn't like I was a kid just going. And she stands up in the middle of the theater. She goes, "Will you stop kicking my seat?" I was like.
What I'm more impressed about in this story is that your feet actually reach the next seat.
I know, they can actually do that in the theater.
They could in this one because it hit her seat and she got up and she did everything but the old. Yeah.
Snap.
She was mad. And I was like trying to cower.
Were you scared?
Oh, yeah, because she could beat me up, man. She was a big, sassy, big lady. I wasn't gonna mess with her. She was like,
she was securing.
She could have been Queen
heavy.
Latifah's body double.
She looked like she could secure the building.
Yeah, she looked like Queen Latifah in this movie because I think Queen Latifah is an inmate or an ex-con who.
Fluffy.
Yeah, yeah. No, but
all other descriptions are out. Yeah. You now have to say that they're security heavy.
I do like it.
Yeah, she. By the way, Bringing Down the House, underrated funny movie.
It is a funny movie.
We should do that one on Movie Torture. Hannah, have you ever seen it?
Never heard of it.
Oh my, Steve Martin's hilarious. He's like this uptight guy who ends up like, he gets hooked up with, he goes on a blind date with an ex-con. And she ends up like moving in the house with him, right, Jacob? Is that?
Something like that, yeah.
And he's all stiff and everybody's like, whoa, she's living with you? I think Eugene Levy's in this movie, in Bringing Down the House. I think he
so
is.
So I had never heard of Eugene Levy before Schitt's Creek, and now he's popping up everywhere in older things that he's done.
He is in this movie. Yeah, I was right. When a lonely guy meets a woman on the internet who happens to be in prison, she breaks out. Okay, she broke out of prison to get him to prove her innocence and proceeds to wreak havoc on his middle-class life. It's a funny movie.
Let's do it.
I might have to watch that again. It's on Hulu right now. I might have to watch that and check it out with Max. Anyway, that movie came out 2003. Hannah, you were only 6 when this movie came out, so
yeah.
I get why you haven't seen it. Hey, right, back to the movie we're on, MTD. We're covering Once Upon a Crime. Where were we at before we got distracted with Troy? Troy talk.
I feel like we really only made it to the train.
We've only made it to, no, because we've been to the casino entry. Yeah.
Okay,
so now they go to the house. Richard Lewis, who is hilarious on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
They're going to go give the dog, to get the dog to the lady, yeah.
And what happens there? What are we looking at here?
Well, they knock on the door. No one answers. It's 1 a.m, by the way, when they're there. And so they split up to go try to find the lady. There's a window light on. He screams up there. Then all of a sudden the light goes off and he comes back and the girl's missing. That was trying to get the dog. But anyways, then they go to the garage and they find a bracelet and they're like, you should take the bracelet. And when they do, a creepy dead hand falls out from the garage and then they run.
What would you do if you saw a creepy dead hand?
I would run.
Call the police.
I would run. Oh, I'm leaving.
I think MTD's gone. He had to leave. They're moving goals. They're going to another shopping area, I suppose. The dead hand would freak me out.
Yeah. Would you still take the bracelet?
No, probably. I'm dropping it in the middle of me screaming and trying to turn around and run without tripping and falling.
Now, that part was funny because they do run away and she leaves her luggage behind.
Which turns out to be a problem.
For two people that seem to be only into themselves, he does like do something very nice for her by walking back in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like he didn't have to do that. And he knew he was going to get arrested.
Well, no, because the first time when he walked back in there, he was grabbing luggage. And that's where he sees the shoes and the guy hiding in the bushes.
True.
And then he runs like off again. Butler. Back a second time that he gets arrested.
But at that point, it's because they had just kissed, you know, and then he was hooked at that point. Even though they didn't kiss for love, they kissed to hide from the cops. But a kiss is a kiss.
Yes, a kiss is a kiss. So I might be missing something, Hannah, but another one of my favorite scenes is when Belushi and Cybill Shepherd have the suitcase and they're trying to get on the train.
I liked it in the hotel before they even got out because they just start screaming, losing their minds. And yes. Belushi's like, shh. He's like, I'm going to take my hand off your mouth. Don't scream. He takes off. So he grabs a pillow and he's like trying to cover her head against the door. He's like, are you trying to kill me?
Yeah, that's funny because here's what's funny. Like that luggage does not look nice. It's pretty ratty. And Belushi, because he's broke and he's trying, he knows he's about to be in big, big trouble with the wife. So he steals that luggage because he thinks there's valuable stuff in it that he could possibly sell to save their money.
He also thinks it's an answer from God because he specifically prayed for a suitcase full of cash.
That's true.
And his prayer scene was hilarious too.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you like Jim Belushi, Hannah? Have you seen Jim Belushi movies?
I don't think that I have seen. I'd have to go back and look. I don't think I have seen him in anything. I know he did a good job in this one, although his character was very unlikable. But he played it well, and he was very funny. Yeah, scrolling through his movies, I don't think I've seen any of these.
You will see some, because we'll do more of Jim Belushi. It's funny, Jacob. Think about Hannah. She grew up a lot later than us. She's going to be able to go to, like, all her young friends and drop all this knowledge about 90s movies.
And they're not going to give a rip, because they also will not know what I'm talking about.
Hannah's going to be like, oh my gosh, have y'all seen Once Upon a Crime? It's so good.
The only way that becomes effective is like if Hannah and her friends are out at like a trivia night and all of a sudden they start dropping all this 80s movies trivia and like Hannah wipes the floor with everybody because of all these terrible movies we've made her watch.
She's like, what is Once Upon a Crime? I'll take Buffy the Vampire Slayer for $1,000, Alec.
The problem is, even though I've seen them, I still wouldn't remember because as soon as the podcast is over, it's out of my head.
You wipe it out. Oh, Hannah, hold on. You still remember Life Stinks, right? You like that one.
Yes. I couldn't tell you a ton about the movies anymore, though.
Clifford.
Oh, he was crazy, right? The adult that's playing the little kid?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I go back to, I mark them by what we talk about. So Clifford's always half loaf. That's our half loaf.
You always remember those details too. You know exactly what episode. And I'm like, how do you do that? Yeah. Hold on, watch this.
Brad, what's Freaky Friday?
If you don't take the shot, that's your AIDS shot commercial. Hit me with another one. Let's see if I can get it.
Hold on. Let me pull up the movies that we've done. I have a list. Okay.
Cocaine Bear.
Cocaine Bear is where we talked about the sequels to Cocaine Bear, but really the fun in that was finding out Hannah takes dumps on four-wheelers.
Wasn't that the Cheeto Cane?
That was Cheeto Cane, too.
That's what I remember for that episode.
That was a packed episode. We had some memorable moments on that. Cheeto Cane. What else?
Big Wedding. Going back.
Do you remember? We didn't do anything in Big Wedding.
Here you go.
I loved Big Wedding, just the movie, but you did not like it. So it's probably.
No. Violent Night was Snooze Button.
Yeah.
That's easy. That's amateur hour, man.
Night Swim.
We didn't ever drop that episode.
We didn't?
No.
Oh. Wait, why didn't we drop
it? We recorded it, never dropped it.
Oh.
Why didn't we ever drop it?
I couldn't tell you. My notes weren't very long with this one. Guess it wasn't a good episode.
What's another one? Hit me one more. You gotta
The Replacements.
You weren't even on that episode, Hannah.
I have it in my notes.
Wait, you were on that episode. Yes. That's where I ranted about how I don't like movies that don't have NFL licensing.
And you still rant about that.
I still rant about it. We watched him. It was terrible.
Terrible.
What was the first episode MTD was born as Training Voorhees?
Jason?
Yep. Friday the 13th. Yeah. The new one with Ashley.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't do that one with you guys.
Oh, Hannah messaged and said she likes the made-up movie music intro.
The music's great.
I seen that.
Yeah. Thank you, Hannah.
I liked it.
Appreciate it.
I was listening. I was like, ooh, okay. I don't know where you get our music from, but I like it all.
She's like, this should be our intro music.
No, we can't change
ours. Should we change?
Ours is iconic at this point.
Ours is iconic. How many intros have we had, Hannah?
How many intros have we had?
How many intro songs have we had on Movie Torture?
Two.
Hannah?
Has it always been the same? No, you changed it at one point and I was mad.
I think only two. It may be three. I know it's two for sure.
Can you play our first one? Now I don't even remember anything other than what we have.
What we have now is the coolest intro of any podcast on the Hopecast Network, in my mind.
Think Bigger. It's the biggest, best song ever in any podcast.
Oh, I like that. Think Bigger. We've got the best logo, the best songs. We're the best of everything.
Our logos are dope. And our music is dope.
Okay. This is our first ever theme song.
I'm Roger.
I want to say that definitely does not fit for a movie torture.
Why do I not remember that at all?
Like, because it was only the first episode.
It was only the first episode. I don't think I actually listened to that one.
No. And then we went to, this is Hannah's. This
Oh, so there's three.
And it is our first.
Do, 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 do. Is that not what it is now?
This is your. This one was on for a long time. This is your very first episode.
I remember that one.
I'm Roger, and I am here again along with my buddy Brad.
Hey, Roger, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. I hope all is going well in your world.
Hey, Roger.
Now you guys know how accurate my intros of Roger
are. Hannah is here because I thought, why not just bring her in for a total crap fest of a movie, right? Like, if I got to ruin my weekend watching crap, I would make sure hers was ruined also.
And it is our first chick flick. So we brought us up in 2000.
Where are you at? Are we going to let you talk? Synopsis.
I was really, really nervous on that episode.
I've listened to this episode, and you wait like 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes.
There were other movies with female lead roles that made no sense to me. And there was no reason for this one to switch to all female.
She's so serious sounding. You sound like an actual professional on there. You're like, and there was no reason for.
So was there a total of three then?
Total of three.
Okay.
Which one is the best one? I think the one we have now is the best one.
Well, now I'm trying to remember what we have now because you just played the other one and now that's stuck in my head.
You almost kind of missed an opportunity here because think about it. In the last, just this past year, we have restructured the cast of Movie Torture, the logo of Movie Torture.
So you're saying we restructured. So what are you saying? We should change it?
You could. You should. We should. We rebranded the whole thing already, except for the song.
We have. Should we steal the made-up movie song then, Jacob? Because...
Well, no, that's already been taken.
That's for made-up movie. We got to keep what we have. I like what we have.
I love how us talking about this movie just turned into a meeting.
We bring back. I can't hear that.
We've done years ago when we first started the show. We're excited. The people of the Hopecast Network have demanded, and the fans have demanded that.
Any listeners we had are gone at this point. They're like, "This is we are just having a business meeting right now."
Basically, we're just having a conference at this point.
We're just zooming in to have a conference. We're discussing history of us.
I demand a new song.
and then Bent was Flight Risk for sure. Or was it Fear? I think it was Flight Risk.
It was one of those.
It was a Mark Wahlberg movie. Could have been Flight Risk or it was Fear. One of the two. Where I talked about going to the theater and seeing and going to Bent. And we did the Clive Owen movies, which was hilarious. But anyway, let's get back to this movie. We've talked about everything.
What movie are we talking about right now?
Once Upon a Crime.
So we're at the house right after they discover the body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then
we were talking about Belushi shutting his wife up.
Oh, yes, we got to the hotel. Then they were going to the train, which was your favorite part.
Oh, I love this part because they got rid of it and then they're like throwing it in the window. The guy's like, your luggage, sir. Your luggage,
it was
sir.
On the wrong train. And they're like, no, we don't want it.
No, keep it. So then they have this sleepy dude and they whisper, he comes up with this big plan.
No, she does because she's the boss.
She comes up with the plan. And he throws the luggage out, but it's not the right luggage.
Because they did it when they were going through a tunnel and it was dark.
Which, okay, but let's be realistic. That would not be that hard to figure out the right luggage.
No.
No, but that's what makes this funny.
But he's an idiot.
Does it?
Yeah. So then the guy's like, that's my luggage. No, that's not mine. And Italy looks really amazing in this movie, by the way. I want to go to Monte Carlo.
Yes. And it's really cool that they got to film all this.
Are you going
to
the casino?
Yes. And I'm gonna try to spend 50 francs.
50 francs.
50 francs. So what happens after this, Hannah? Where are we at?
After the train. So after that, I think is kind of when everyone starts getting arrested one by one. Because Phoebe was out in the water trying to give the dog
a
bath.
Beat the dog.
But someone was looking at her through binoculars and it looked like she was trying to kill the dog. So they called the cops on her. So she got arrested. Her boyfriend-to-be was already arrested because he got caught at the house. And then the couple got arrested on the train because the officer came in and had to search their luggage to make sure they weren't carrying anything across country lines. And that's when he found the chopped up body. And then they finally mentioned John Candy, and he gets pulled in because his name is on a matchbook that they found at the dead woman's house. And
this is so funny. I love this.
And they call him in as an alibi. The guy, the gambler guy, is trying to use John Candy as an alibi.
Yeah, and he needs an alibi. And when he goes to his wife, she's like, I was cheating on you. And he was amazed that she could go an hour and a half. He's like, hour and a half?
Well, he wasn't even mad about the whole thing. He was just upset that he didn't have an alibi anymore. And I was like, bro, come on.
And I did love that part where he, you know, the whole ruse was like she was supposed to lie for him, say I was the one in the room, da, 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 da. But then when the police figure out that's not right, he's trying to get her to tell the actual truth that there was another man in the room, and she won't do it because she still thinks she's supposed to stick on this alibi. So she's
see,
like,
my take on that was that she was doing it on purpose. Not that she was still trying to protect him, because I don't think she liked him very much at that point.
Nah, she was not a fan of him.
No. And I love when the cop comes in there and he said, can I see a match? And he starts to try to eat the matchbook, which is hilarious.
Also, this like little side story subplot throughout the movie of the inspector trying to get his cigarette lit by his assistant. Yeah. And either the lighter won't light, or the one time when the flames burst out of it, I died laughing. They don't get it right till the very last scene. He finally pulls out a lighter that works.
Which was good. I like when John Candy had to reenact the scene of escaping.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So funny, man.
Honestly, that inspector guy was really good at his job. He had very creative ways of finding the truth.
He did.
He knew they were all idiots, right?
Well, he knew they were all lying.
He knew that none of them did it, is what he knew. I think he was just toying with them the whole time.
Well, because he even said in the beginning, he's like, their instinct is to lie because they have a fear of being incriminated. But eventually it will all lead to the truth.
Yeah.
So what happens at the end, Hannah? Who is the killer?
So they all wind up in the room where Madame Van Dugan was killed. That's where they ended up after John Candy had to show the inspector that it was in fact him who exited his hotel room via the ladder and a fire escape. So they land up in the murder room, and then John Candy's like, no, it's not me. Ask my wife. So then they bring the wife in, and they bring in the other couple. Both of the other couples.
Yep.
And then everything ends up leading to Alfonso, the lady whisperer. Because it was him standing in the bushes at the murder house with the creepy shoes and the creepy eyes. And he says, no, it was not I. I was here to make love to Miss Van Dugan. But, you know, she wasn't here and her bed was already turned down for the night. And then that's when it clicks in the inspector's head. He says, the maid and the butler said that they weren't here. And they couldn't perform their nightly duties because they weren't here. But in the evidence photos, the bed was made. not turned back for bed, the way Alfonso saw it. So then they find out it's the maid and the butler who had worked there for 31 years, almost 32.
Here's the one thing I don't like about this. I think the killer should be one of them. I don't like that we're introduced to the maid and the butler for just a minute and they're the killers. Like, it needs to be someone you've been following. You're like, oh my gosh, it was that one? He did it like that? That's what I think.
It was that, though. It was like, oh my gosh, it was them? And that's how they did it?
Yeah, but we didn't even know who they were. They're insequential, really, to the movie.
They had a really good scene where she was pouring the hot tea on the guy and they had to come and identify the dog.
It's true.
And figure out that his name was Napoleon.
And the womanizer ends up with the dog.
Uh-huh.
The ladies' man, his new companion is a dog.
Who's going to inherit her fortune because the dog has the fortune. And that's the whole gist of it, right?
Yeah. And everyone else becomes friends.
What does he say? What does he say? Because I made me laugh at the, you know, he's like, there's the first time for everything or something like that. Like he's on his yacht with the dog.
he gave his typical line of who he is. Like when he's pursuing women.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like anybody with an accent like that, if you're a six, with that accent, you're immediately pumped up to an eight as a dude. Like, that was a,
listen,
I come here, I want to be.
The conference I was at this weekend, we had a whole bunch of people from England and Ireland and Australia. And the amount of accents in that room, and I was like, it's, wow, you really do become so much more attractive when you have an accent.
But you're probably attracted to them, too, and you're like, hey, I'm from North South Carolina, and...
I don't sound like that, first of all.
Hey, y'all ever listened to Movie Torture? I'm on it. We're recording this Saturday at 3. You can listen to Once Upon a Crime. It's a good movie with that John Candy.
Okay, wow. So, Brad, I saw you post this on our Instagram, the poll of who you think is the funniest between the three.
Nobody voted.
No, but what's your answer to that?
Nobody cares. Like, look,
made them so sad. You're like, oh, no one voted.
Nobody voted for our poll. No, that's an easy one. I've said John Candy is the best of those three by a mile.
Really?
100%. He had the comedic chops to do it all. He was not one note. Okay. Are both of y'all disagreeing with me?
Yeah, Jacob, what are your thoughts?
I would have to agree with John Candy for the aspect of like, He played so many just different roles and was able to do it well to where the rest of them all played the same character, basically just in a different movie.
So yeah, when he was Dale in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, you felt so sorry for him. Like, he played such an impactful role in that movie. I mean, he could do anything. He was funny. He was great. Yeah. Hannah, who are you choosing?
Mine is kind of between the other two, but John Candy is at the bottom of the list for me, and I feel like he wasn't that funny in this movie. I don't feel like he did a ton. Not that he was unfunny in his parts, just, I don't know.
Is this our third Candy movie, Jacob?
Is it our third? Yeah, it is.
Nothing But Trouble.
Yeah.
Once Upon a Crime. What was the other one?
Crumb.
Well, Hannah's had bad experiences. She needs to go watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And, you know.
Or The Great Outdoors.
Or Uncle Buck.
Uncle Buck.
Or Home Alone. He's good in Home Alone in just like 5 minutes.
John Candy, yes.
Is it The Great Outdoors that he's in? Where the bear is harassing them?
Yeah, he's got to eat the big steak. The big 99.
That's a great movie. Great movie.
Hannah, we should do that one. You'll like. Wait, that'd be a fun one.
Who is he in Home Alone?
He's the polka king.
That's right. Okay. Forgot about that.
Yeah. He was in JFK, the Oliver Stone movie. I mean, he's good. And I'm biased because he's from my generation. But
I don't think he was that funny in Home Alone either. Maybe it's not my type of humor. I just don't. He's not my favorite.
He was great in National Lampoon's Vacation.
Yeah.
Welcome to Wally World. That's so funny. I don't know. He's great. Huh. I like John Candy. We'll do another John Candy movie. We're gonna have to sway you, Hannah. If he was still alive today, he would be still selling movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he just would be a different, he's a different kind of guy than Farley, and Kevin James is like number three on that list. Wouldn't you say, Jacob?
Oh.
I would take Farley over Kevin James.
Farley, oh, you know, yes, but I'd almost take Farley over John Candy.
But all Farley did was, oh, I'm going to lose control. I mean, that
but
was
he did it so well. He did it so well.
I'm taking Candy. I thought Candy was good in Nothing But Trouble.
He was. I actually liked him in Nothing But Trouble.
No, Hannah, that you don't want to see that movie. Hannah, you got any trivia for this movie?
I do. Let's see. Richard Lewis almost turned down this movie because he wasn't sure about doing a slapstick-style mystery, but he changed his mind because he wanted to work with John Candy and get a free trip to Monte Carlo, since this was actually filmed there.
Yeah, I would have liked that free trip to Monte Carlo. Yeah.
The dog, Napoleon, did all of his own stunts in this movie with no doubles at any point, which is rare for a dog actor, I guess. And then there's one scene where Richard Lewis, he was really exasperated after fumbling up a line, and he said, "Can we cut?" But Eugene Levy liked it so much that he left it in the movie, which I need to go back and find that.
He says, "Can we cut?" in the movie?
Apparently, that's what it says.
I might have to look on YouTube for that scene.
Yeah. Yeah, and then other than that, it says John Candy ad-libbed a bunch of his lines, and so you can see a lot of points throughout the movie that people are trying to hold their smiles because they were just cracking up so much.
Yeah. See, that's what he could do brilliantly that I don't think Farley and Kevin James could do, is ad-lib on their toes. Maybe Farley, not Kevin James.
Kevin James, no.
No. Jacob, what's some bad reviews?
We have... this one says, amazing comedic assembly cast that lacks the actual comedy. Bummer. Great cast. This one says, I only gave the movie one star for Napoleon, the wiener dog. and this one says, terribly unbelievably bad, but John Candy is in it, so there's at least one plus. So there's a John Candy fan for you.
Or at least one plus size.
oh, here you go. This one. Well, one last one. This one makes me, this is funny. This one says, this is a comedy movie with only two jokes.
Okay. Liz B. wrote in 2005.
Wow, that's a long time.
I know. This movie is a classic. Brilliant cast, fantastic script. The performances are so hilarious. It's cleverly done. You'll laugh all the way to the twisted ending. It's a great whodunit. If you haven't seen this film, don't waste your any time and see for yourself how good this is. I did have one from, here's one from August of this year. Very good movie, added to my collection. Weirdly enough, this movie is $60 on Amazon Prime for the DVD. So if you want the DVD copy, it's $59.95.
Good night.
What? Who is paying that when you can go on Tubi and just watch it? Like, there's people are. These people are like, I bought the DVD. I like it.
DVDs are coming back. And VHS tapes.
They are. It's like vinyl records.
Yeah.
This Amazon customer said, get this caper comedy. You won't regret it. Once Upon a Time is never going to be mistaken for the Maltese Falcon, but if you're looking for some very funny, lighthearted entertainment, then you can't go wrong with this offering. I highly recommend it. Okay, here's the time of the day.
The moment of truth.
Hannah, movie torture, movie gold.
It's movie gold. This movie was so funny and feel good, and I would watch it again.
Wow. And you did watch it on normal speed.
I did. I didn't have much of a choice, but I was happy.
This is a special gold from Hannah, because not only did she give you gold, she said she would watch it again. Usually she gives a gold and says, I'll never watch it again, but it was gold.
Didn't she recently do that on our last episode with, what did we record last?
And no, she said I wouldn't watch again, but it was gold.
No, she said I would, look who's talking. She said I would have a girl's night and just sit and watch that movie again.
Yep.
Oh, you're correct. Yes.
She did say that. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Jacob, movie torture, movie gold.
It's not movie gold, but it's not movie torture. I came in at movie bronze. It was okay.
Not even a funny. Silver?
It just didn't hit for me. It didn't hit for me. I didn't think it was that funny.
I'm going to control myself right now because this movie's an amazing movie gold. It's underrated.
Yeah.
Underappreciated. Mm-hmm. Snappy. I love any script writer that can be quick like that and just have it going the whole movie. I thought it was great. Like this was kind of like a Mel Brooks movie where you're doing snappy dialogue back at each other the whole time. Like it's good. There's a couple parts that kind of lagged, but is it as good as Life Stinks? No. Mm-hmm.
Not even close.
Would I probably watch it again? Probably not. Yeah, I probably wouldn't watch this movie again, but it's not terrible. Like I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
But here's the thing. It sounds like you're trying to defend it. You sound like you're trying to convince yourself it's gold right now.
No, it's definitely gold.
You're doing a lot of explaining to explain your gold here.
It's a definite gold. I mean, just the casino scene alone is gold to me with Belushi and John Candy. So
everything about it's gold.
Everything about it's gold. But it's that time of the show where we have an announcement to make.
Oh.
Yeah, we do.
Oh boy.
Next week, we are going to be covering our first made-for-television movie.
Yeah.
Our first made-for-television movie with Love on the Pod. We're joining forces with Love on the Pod.
Which someone will be missing because they're on work assignment.
I'm trying to get this right. So they're recording, we're recording this one for our pod, and they're recording the other one. So Jacob's only going to be able to be at one of our recordings, Hannah, with Love on the Pod. Yes. I know. So it's going to be me in the gauntlet with you and the two ladies of Love on the Pod. I'm going to be outnumbered. And me and MTD.
Well, MTD's now you know how I feel all the time.
Yeah. You can emphasize that on the show. And I'm trying to get this right, how this is going to work. Like, I guess we're recording the Christmas one for them. So we need to record the Christmas one with them before you come on, Jacob, because you'll record the movie we're doing, which is the unauthorized biopic of Full House.
That's ours movie?
Yes. That's what they chose for us to record.
Oh, that's what we're putting on our pod?
Yes, I'm pretty sure. I need to clarify, but
I got to find that movie.
It's on YouTube. I think it's free on YouTube.
Oh, you
got to
find
it. But it's got an epic fart scene.
It does. It's amazing. That's
what sold Jacob and I, was just the fart scene. The fart scene alone was amazing.
Shocker.
So that's the movie I need to watch.
Yeah. Be our first time ever joining forces with another pod.
Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome.
We're doing like the, remember back in the day when the sitcoms used to show up on other sitcoms?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're doing. We're just dropping in on their world. It's a pretty good pod. I like their pod. I listen to it with my wife. So not by myself. That's weird. Their pod, guys, their pod is Hallmark movies.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I like your face when I said that, Anna. They like the Gilmore Girls and they like Hallmark. So
okay, I like Gilmore Girls. I'm watching it right now, but Hallmark.
And it's a mother-daughter, and right now they are binging Gilmore Girls annually. They do it annually.
Oh, man, that means you're going to be talking about the movie I wanted to talk about that I won't be able to be on to talk about.
Cousin Eddie?
Yeah.
I know. Oh. For them, we're doing Cousin Eddie. Cousin Eddie's Christmas Vacation. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, what a show, guys. I think I'm just going to hang up and I'm going to watch Once Upon a Crime one more time.
I doubt it.
Until next week, for the First Lady, for Jacob, for MTD, my name is Brad. We'll see you next time on Movie Torture.